Okay, we've got the joy of listening to Rachel Dawson, who's going to share some stuff with us.
I'm very excited to be speaking to you this evening. Excited and expectant. Because God is good, and because I'm amongst friends, the fact that it's a kind of about quarter of a sermon that I've prepared tonight, but I'm so excited because I feel like there's some treasure to be found, and it may be that at the end of this evening, there's going to be some more delving to do. So it might be that at the end, you've got quite a few questions, and that's okay. I'm feeling fine about that, and I think that's God, because I'm quite an anxious person, and I'm not anxious. And I've even got a fourth point that isn't written yet, and I'm going to ask you to provide that one. So it's going to be a bit interactive, but I do believe there's something precious that I feel God's been speaking to me about. So I'm just going to pray, but before I do, just to sort of do the headline, we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy 30. Sue's going to read to us in a bit. So I've got quite a long intro before the reading. She's going to read from verses 11 to 20 to the end of the chapter. But I really want to sort of zoom in to parts of verse 19 and 20. And these are the words that I hope you'll take away with you tonight. Choose life. Love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice. Hold fast to him. So we're going to pray first. Lord God, we do just want to choose you. We have chosen you. And yet we want to keep choosing you. So tonight, Lord, as we come before you, we want to say we love you, Lord. With all of our heart and with all of our mind and with all of our soul. And Lord, we want to listen to your voice tonight. Lord, help us to learn what it means to listen to you and to hold fast to you. I'll just give you that word of warning, actually. The hold fast to you, that's the one I'm going to come round with the mic for and wonder what does that mean? And we might just leave that as a question at the end to go away with. So I love freedom. I don't know about you. I love the word freedom. We have so many choices, don't we? When I think about choices and all the choices we have, being a coffee lover, I think about all the different types of coffee choices we've got. I mean, I tried something new this week. Well, I ordered a coconut mocha. And that would have been lovely, but he accidentally made it without the coconut. So I absolutely loved what he did make. It was amazing. And I got a free voucher because he said he'd done it wrong. But we've got so many choices, haven't we? Well, God, our loving Father, has created us to have choice. And right from the beginning, we've had choice as mankind. And each day we have so many choices, don't we? And we're going to look, looking at this passage, we're going to look for quite a bit at the Old Testament and how things were for them, and then what the difference is now for us. And then we're going to hopefully look at a way to see forward and ask God to help us when we're looking at how to live well for him and with him. So that's sort of what we're aiming to do. So in the Old Testament, people had choice. And the choices they made, as they do now, lead to consequences. It was very clear in the whole of Deuteronomy, as Moses was reminding them of the covenant law and the covenant promises, of the blessings and the curses, that sin equals death. And we find out in Romans as well, don't we? The wages of sin are death. Just thinking about that context of this passage that we're going to hear in a minute, thinking back to how it was in the Old Testament, I don't know how you, it's a little bit of an aside, but I don't know how you approach studying the Bible. This particular little snippet of a verse was highlighted to me in the what's the name of it? Keys to Freedom course. And I felt like as it came up in, I can't remember which session, this little tiny bit of Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 to 20, it felt like I'd never read it before. Have you had that, where you read a verse and you think, that's not in the Bible, I've not seen that before, and you know, I've read the Bible in a year and things like that. But this little bit, it felt like it was everything all in one, and that's why this this study that I've been trying to do feels a little bit like way bigger than something that I can talk to you about in one evening. Don't worry, I need the loo. I kept on needing the loo so that it would be a short sermon. So don't worry, I'm not going to run off, but it means it will be short, but it was shorter than it could have been. And I'll lose my place lots as well, so I do apologise. But in studying, so I had those verses and was thinking there's so much in that, those phrases, choose life, love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, hold fast to him. It felt like there was so much in there. So then what do you do with it? Where do you go next? So I was looking at the context, what's happening at that time, and we'll talk about that. I don't know what you do, do you read commentaries? I know Tim has got probably at least a couple of libraries worth of commentaries at home. Is that right? About right, Tim? Oh, sorry. But oh, well, Promised Land message is probably quite good for you, isn't it, tonight? Okay. So the other thing that I often do is listen to other people's sermons on the topic. So I've listened to a couple of sermons on Deuteronomy 30. And one, you'll love this title, it's more of old school, Timothy Keller, Life and Prosperity, Death and Destruction. Okay, and I really recommend it. It's a brilliant sermon. And I've really learned some things through that. But toying with all those different ways, obviously the main thing is scripture, isn't it? And listening to God and asking him to reveal things to us and maybe have some other ideas. As well, listening back a few weeks, Jan did a lovely sermon, and she talked about some of the ways that we can connect. So one of the questions he asks is, thinking about the Old Testament, one of the things he poses is that when we think about the God of Deuteronomy, we're talking about huge blessing. The promises that I'm going to be with you always. You will be my people. So much love and blessing comes through. But also, this is the same God who, as well as blessing outrageously in that way, is also sin. He can't be around because he's so good. He may be so good that he blesses outrageously, but he's so good that sin has to be dealt with. It has to be sorted out. And you have got this tension in the Old Testament between blessing and curse, love and discipline. And the whole of the book kind of lays out how things were and how things were done at the time. But also we hear a lot, don't we, about some pretty deadly curses and some outrageously wonderful blessing. And in the sermon that I listened to, he points out that it is because God is so good that he blesses. It's because he's so good that sin has to be dealt with. And this tension exists. The people knew how to live. They were given clear guidance. Moses was at Mount Sinai and given the law of the covenant, and which he delivered to them, the Ten Commandments. And it was very clear that if you strayed in certain ways, there might be destruction, death. We know many stories, don't we, that are very difficult to read about what happened to Korah and his family. The plague, not many chapters before, when the Midianite women, there was intermarriage, and 24,000 died of a plague as a result of that sin. And it's tough to read. But there was a way that people could approach a holy God. The great high priest in the Holy of Holies, the priest would atone for the people, bring a spotless unblemished animal for sacrifice, allowing the people to be atoned for, to be at one. Atonement, you can read at one-ment, with God because of that sacrifice that had to be made for sin. I've got a picture which is not overhead, which I'm going to pass on to you, and it's how I sort of saw things for them at the time. I think I've lost it actually. That's about right. Here we go. There's two copies, so pass it round. And I just imagined this as kind of, if we do one on either side, as kind of how it would have been. And it's a picture of a bridge, and it's not a bridge you would really want to walk across. You'd have to tread carefully. You would have to really think about every step. And there were all those rules and regulations, ways to live, to try to keep holy, to try to live in a way that meant that you could approach God by the means of festivals, regular sacrifices, relying on that the priest and the priest, the order of priests, the Levites, to allow you to be able to have communion and be in the presence. Well, you actually weren't allowed in the presence of God, as you know, but the priest would atone for you in that way and make things right. But it was never good enough, so it had to be done again and again and again. It was such a temporary thing. And if you've had a look at that picture, that's the sort of picture that I imagined. Was there was a way to God, but it wasn't very good, was it? It wasn't very perfect, and it was treacherous, and they had to tread with care. But they knew that God was with them in that. They knew that God was with them always because of his limitless love. So the Israelites had been learning the hard way to live for God, and they'd been rescued out of slavery in Egypt so dramatically, so amazingly, and yet, as you know, they then grumbled, moaned, saw, didn't see God for who he was and what he'd done for them, but thought about some of the things that they struggled with and looked away from God, really, and in their sin were wandering, weren't they, for 40 years. They'd had an opportunity. We're going to have that the verses in a minute, but these verses, they're at the cusp of finally going into the promised land. And they'd already had that opportunity before. In Numbers 13, the representatives of the 12 tribes had been sent to go and to spy out the land. They had gone to see what it was like, and they came back with a report. And as you know, really 10 of them were slandering God's word because they were questioning whether it was right to go forward. And then the two, Caleb and Joshua, were speaking about all the wonderful blessings that they would go to. And who did the people listen to? Because we're going to come a bit later thinking about listening to God. They listened to words which weren't in keeping with what God had said about going into the promised land. They listened to words that stopped them from receiving his blessing. And they chose to listen to lies. And that meant they've been wandering for 40 years and the whole generation of men will not go into the promised land, including Moses. But before he dies, here we are with his loving leadership and his urging of his people to make the right choice. So Sue, could you come and read for us from Deuteronomy 30, chapters 11, sorry, that's the chapter, verse 11 to 20.
Is the mic okay?
Is that okay there? Sorry, in your face.
Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Thank you, Sue. That was beautifully read. Just to encourage you to hang on in there, we're still going to talk a bit Old Testament, but we're going to... Oh, yeah, sorry. But we are going to be thinking about what this can mean for each of us. And again, I really don't like having borrowed some ideas from someone else without naming them. So another person that I listened to a sermon from was Pastor Mike Hilson of New Life Church in North Virginia. And he actually started a whole series just on these verses, looking at a kind of template, if you like, for how to make decisions. And it's something a little bit more like that that we're gonna be looking at tonight. And that sort of gave me the idea of it. But when, as I say, I heard it in the Keys to Freedom course, which I do recommend the course, but it was like, it felt as though those few words could be a key to living a life of freedom. I know I've said that once, I'll say it again. Choose life. Love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice. Hold fast to him. And as I say, I'm still on that journey. So we're still going to do some wandering in the desert, and hopefully we'll come home to the promised land in a few minutes. So we've got this situation, the law, the Ten Commandments, offerings, tithes, this tension, sin must be punished and dealt with. A just God can't let anything go unpunished, but loves us with wonderful and complete love and wants the best for all of his people. So those Old Testament blessings and curses, love and discipline, it's a problem. And the whole of the Old Testament, I believe, and I'm sure you've seen it in this way before, is pointing to the need for a redeemer, for a saviour. And the cross. So at the cross, this tension is resolved. Sin and death meets love and blessing at the cross. The sin of the world is on the cross with Jesus. He is the sacrifice to atone for sin. The sin of the world needed a spotless and innocent sacrifice. And those sins have to be punished because God's so good. So God good that sin must be dealt with. But also there needs to be a priest to bring the sacrifice. And this is probably just really simple to everybody else, but it felt like something brand new again to me. that when Jesus went to the cross, he was both the innocent sacrifice and the priest who brings the sacrifice. And there's no one else in history who could be both the priest and the lamb, the priest and the sacrifice, because he was God and man. It had to be someone godly of the order of priests to bring the sacrifice, and it had to be someone who could take on the sin of the world. And his manliness was man enough to take on, and his body was man enough to be bruised and to be battered and to be taken to the cross in that way. So the great high priest who has brought the sacrifice, as we heard when Matt reminded us in our communion, also at that moment the curtain was torn, and now we have an open heaven and we can access him. We are the holy priesthood, and we have that freedom that's come through the cross. So at the cross all is resolved. Sin and death are conquered for those that trust in the death of Christ Jesus. So we're going to come to the passage now and look at it in terms of how I think we can look at this piece of scripture, learn from it as to what it meant then, but also I believe God can take his word and bring new meanings for us, learning about what it was like for them, but how we can apply it for our lives. So what I want to look at is verse 11 to 14 from the same passage from Deuteronomy 30. And it says, "For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over to the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it." Excuse me, sniffling. So things would have been different then. Now we have the full word of God, don't we, in scripture. Which is a huge blessing to be able to see and to live in the time when we have Jesus, when we have the fullness of the cross and all that means, as well as this whole wealth of God's word in scripture. But also the Bible does refer to Christ as the word, the living word. There's different people say that it's not very clear, it's not said in scripture why that's been said, but there's various reasons you might come up with. But we know that Jesus living in us gives us a real sense of who God is, and when he came to the cross he revealed his Father. So we know about God through Jesus, so in that way he is the living word. And therefore when we're looking to be listening to him, to be obedient to his word, we just need to be with Jesus. He's with us, and we now have the word living in us when we've said yes to him. Okay, so I'm going to just show you. Before I show you this next picture, let's just close our eyes. I just want to have a think about that picture we had of the bridge and the treacherous way to God for people before the time of that resolution at the cross and the redemption and salvation available. And now, what does it look like to choose life? To follow him? If you imagine a bridge, what would it look like? Have a little think if it would be different from that first picture. So I'm going to pass around a picture, but I don't think it's anything like as open and free as I think we are since the cross. The reason I picked that picture, as I say, it was just the best I could do, but I don't know, I don't think it fully gets it, but was to have this open land that we have available to us and freedom, that we make a decision for Christ, we make him Lord of our life, and then it's about staying close to him and just going off on an adventure with him without the restrictions that they had to follow in the Old Testament. Okay, so we're a people who want to stay close to God. We don't need to be obedient to receive forgiveness. We don't need to be obedient to receive. We're free. The price of eternal life was bought at the cross with death. So we don't have to be obedient to him. But we love him, don't we? And we want to. And he wants us to. If you read your Bible, there's quite a lot of instruction. And there's so much in there about how we're to live. But none of that is what means that we are freed from the bondage of sin. That is because of Jesus and Jesus only. But I am going to talk a little bit about obedience and wanting to live for him and what that might look like. So Hebrews 13 verse 16 says, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." So that's just one example, and there's obviously loads in the whole Bible, but if we're thinking particularly since the cross, there's lots of ways in which we can read scripture in a way that tells us how to live. And that tension of love and discipline, which was resolved at the cross, doesn't mean that there aren't effects of sin. And there's a kind of a horizontal effect of sin. We know that if we do wrong, others might get hurt, we might get hurt. There's all sorts of consequences for our sin, but none of which prevent us from having the fullness of God's forgiveness, because that is for all who choose to call him Lord. So we're going to get on with the 4 points, and I'll finish those very quickly, because even though they're like the main thing, as you know, I've gone on this sort of journey of really thinking about the context. So choose life, love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. So number one, choose life. So I just want us to have a think about whether we're sometimes spiritually back in the desert, wandering. Perhaps over individual decisions we face, perhaps regarding certain sinful practices, perhaps things we're doing that don't please God, or things we're not doing that he's asked of us, or that he might ask of us if we listen to him. Who knows? There's all sorts of things about the way I want us to just think about the promised land being a future that's wholly given to him, and that's about listening to him and doing his will for our lives. So just have a think, and we'll ask the Holy Spirit to just speak to us individually. Lord God, just come now as we spend a moment of silence, just thinking about whether, even though we are in the promised land in terms of sin being dealt with in our lives, if we've chosen you as Lord, we know that sometimes we might wander back, and there might be certain areas of life that we've not completely surrendered to you. Or there might be something, a decision we're facing, where we're not really sure what direction to go in. Lord, help us as we look at this particular part of this passage to listen to you. And this evening, for each one of us here in the room tonight, I pray that you might reveal something that you want to say to each one about what the promised land might mean for each person tonight. So that's quite vague, and you might not have thought of anything, but if you go away and just wonder about it, perhaps God will use some of these words to help you to look forward So the second part is love the Lord your God. So number one, choose life. We know we have choices, and you may have some that you're facing. God may reveal something to you about a choice you have or a position you're in that he wants to lead you forward into the promised land free of wandering. Love the Lord your God. Before we make decisions about our future, or before we, as we think about looking forward, we need to think about our love of him. Steve said after lunch today, it's easy to love the Lord and do nothing, which I found quite challenging. And I love that challenge about maybe doing something for him. Maybe there are people here tonight who are thinking about a particular thing that God's been talking to them about. Maybe to meet the needs of people you meet in the local community, or maybe further, like Bristol or far, far away. But before we even think about doing, we need to check, is Lord Lord of our life completely? Is he in charge of our decisions? And that's, I find that quite a struggling phrase. Is he in charge of our decisions? Would we do anything that he said, even if it didn't quite fit for us? Is he in charge? Or are there just a couple of things that we're going to carry on managing because they're all right, thanks. I don't need any help with that. You can come into this bit, God. So that's one point to do, is to just check in with yourself whether you are loving the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, and make him truly Lord. In that verse that I read from Hebrews, the verse, I think it's 16, so it's Hebrews 13, verse 16. The verse before says, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. So that first point, love the Lord your God, could be about making him Lord of our life and making sure that we're completely allowing him Lord of everything. But it can also just be about our praise of him. And in the Old Testament, we learn quite a lot, don't we, about the start of battles would often be a position of praise, making sure that came first before anything else. So thirdly, listen to his voice. How do we listen to God? And when we think about the Israelites in that position they were in as Moses was speaking to them these words, they're going back that time to the previous position they were in with in Numbers 13. We'd said about how they'd been listening to lies, they'd listened to the 10, they hadn't heard the truth that God was going to be with them and that the land was promised to them and they could go in confidence. So we need to listen to God, don't we, and hear his voice. And, you know, that's a challenge, isn't it, in these times when there's so many things coming in, whether it's other people, whether it's devices and noise, whether it's situations you find yourself in, circumstances and problems. And we need to come back to God and listen to his voice, put him first. I'm just thinking about that last point. I think we need to close shortly, but just thinking about that fourth one is hold fast to him. And as I said, very honest that I've just feel like I've just been trying to listen to God for all about this, and I've really not come as far as to have an answer to how we hold fast to him, but I love it. I just love those verses, and I know I want to hold fast to him, don't you? So any ideas? I am going to walk around with a mic, I think. How can we hold fast to him? So any ideas for either anything practical you could do, or just what it means to you? The hardest point in the sermon is over to you. Keith, I'll come round to you if nobody else says anything, okay? Anybody?
When I was saying about, prayed about Jesus never leaving us, I was thinking of his promise of the Holy Spirit and the fact that the Holy Spirit's living in me. And I could do a whole sermon on that. I was thinking, don't want to say too much now. But that'd be a nice, you know, sometimes we forget that.
Yeah.
And to remind ourselves every day at some point, Holy Spirit, you're living in me and you're with me.
Yeah. Yeah, because we don't have to hold fast in a striving way, do we? Because we've got him with us always. Yeah.
I was thinking, for me, one of the ways would be who you choose to be around. Mm. There are people that help me to hold on to Jesus, but then there's other people that could do the opposite. And I'm not saying you should just hang around Christians, obviously, but to actually think about who you hang around.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm really starting to think now. Yeah, and I suppose in how you spend your time, even. Well, that comes into the other bit as well, loving the Lord your God with all your heart. Any other ideas for how we can hold fast to him?
God's word is living and active, and taking God's word, the scriptures, and making them real to you. I think to just meditate on them, think about them, and then trust what God says.
Yes, thank you. Okay, thank you. So we sort of finished, but I just had this funny moment. This is like why perhaps I'm better to do like little talks. But I'll pass the picture around first. Well, I'll show you. This is something that I found in the car park behind Sainsbury's. I thought, I've got to get that into this sermon because it might be my last. So there it is. I'll just pass that round. What does that make you think of? I don't know if you've actually seen what it is, but...
Have you been drinking?
A bit of white wine on Friday night, but I haven't drunk since then. I don't know if you saw. Well, what is it first? Does anyone know what it is? What that is? Yeah. Yeah, and this was like a week or two ago. It does, doesn't it? Does anyone remember a time at church when something like that might have come in? Did it look like that? Or did it look like, I'm being a good girl now, hope I get some brownie points for this. Did it look like this? Did anyone have one of these put somewhere around their house to remind them, as Matt asked us, which probably was Easter time, was it?
Mother's Day.
And I think you said it was to remind us that we're loved. Like, God loves us with the love, like a hen, you know. And then we were to put that somewhere where we would see it. I remember someone else saying that Martin put it on his toolbox. Mine's just in the corner of the kitchen. But I saw that. And actually, looking at it now, I think it's a different type to the one that Matt gave us. But I thought... And it's just something to leave with you. We've talked a lot about these verses, choose life, and that we've got choices. But I just want to leave you with a question or a thought. That some of the people that we meet think they're dead and that they don't have a choice to be alive. They might be broken, lost. They might believe that their sin or the hurt from others' sin has meant that they are dead and that there is no choice for life. Equally, there might be some people who think that they're alive, there's nothing wrong, they don't need forgiveness, everything's good, thanks. I don't quite know where our place is and what, except to just be listening to God and to be prompted by him for how we help them to see that they do have a choice and that it's a wonderful choice for life. So I'll just leave that thought with you, and let's just let God lead us in these next days and weeks.
There's lots to think about there, isn't there? Let's just take a moment to pray, and then we're gonna wrap up for the evening. Lord, we thank you for these many kind of sparks of revelation in life, whether it's the God and the priest, whether it's this challenge, the people that we'll meet this week. Are they actually spiritually dead? Are they living in denying that they're not where they could be? Lord, we pray that we would be alive to you. There's things that we've just shared about reminding ourselves that we've got your Holy Spirit living inside of us. We pray that we would choose to trust you, that we choose to be filled with your Spirit, that we choose to look for what you're doing around us. Father, thank you for Rachel's humility that says, actually, I wouldn't know exactly what to do, but my God is with me. We pray that for one another's lives this week, that in all the different situations that we're in, Father, we pray that we would choose you, that we would choose to see what you're doing, that we choose to be alive in you. In Jesus' name, amen.